Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is Leslie Arnold hosting ACOTA, the Ancient Science of Sahaji. It's October 8th, 2016, Saturday evening, 6:30 p.m. on the East Coast of the United States of America. And I welcome everyone to the show this evening. It's a pleasure to have you with us. We're going to talk, we will talk only about the teaching of ACOTA during this show. We'll talk about the basic fundamentals as well as go into some of the other aspects of the teaching that you might not be familiar with. And with us this evening, as he is with us every Saturday night, and we're honored and happy to have him with us, is the leader of the teaching, Sri Kadavji, the Mahaji, the 973rd Living Sarosha Master. Hello, Sri Kadavji. How are you tonight?
I'm fine, Leslie. And how are you this evening?
I'm doing quite well, thanks. It's great to hear from you and to hear you speaking. And I was just telling people we're going to be talking a little bit about the basics of this teaching. It is, as far as I know, the most ancient spiritual teaching that exists that actually goes back to the beginning of time. And you're the 973rd in a line of living Sarosha masters. And the living Sarosha masters, the Mahaji, the living Sarosha masters, are the leaders of the teaching throughout time. And this lineage can last a very short time. It can last a long time. You've been in this position for many years now. How long has it been since you accepted what's called the Yasti Prabhava?
That was in 1988 when we brought ACOTA public. So that's been 28 years. 28 years.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So I've been in position for 28 years, and that would appear to be a long time when you talk about politics and all that for tenure, but it's still a matter of, it's a dynamic tenure. The longest master in the last 973 has been over 300 years. So that just shows you that sometimes they live a long time. For instance, some of the masters in the East have, there's a monastery of the Viragi Sarosha masters who live physically in the Tibetan mountains. And some of the masters are very old. And that means that in terms of the tenure, it doesn't really matter. It's just to know that it's temporary. It's not a hero, one-time deal, messiah business that the religions fall prey to. Those are really misinterpretations of the longest unbroken line of spiritual masters called the Living Sarosha Master. And that means that there's a central energy, a conscious energy that has to exist. And then the master is always there, and he makes an appearance occasionally and brings the teaching public, his teaching public. And presently that teaching is called ACOTA, which has the central vibration or the core message or power, I would say. It's probably better to call it power than love. And then we use higher Sanskrit words, like ACOTA is a higher Sanskrit word. It was a language of no sense or nonsense. It's not really a logical language. It's a language of the speaking in tongues that some of the religions get into, but don't really understand it. In ACOTA, we understand it, and we use a few of the terms to bridge the energy. Like ACOTA and Sarosha are two terms. In English, they mean equilibrium and spirit, respectively. So those two terms are primary bridging words that when you chant those words or say those words, now you're in the vibration of spirit, the high spirit. So that's why they are used to bridge the English, if you will. I use English as my native language to teach the message. By using that language, then we're able to give the basic fundamentals that we give here on the weekly calls to explain to the ready souls how to gain spiritual liberation. And therefore, when a other teachers that speak only in their native language aren't really bridging the information to the spirit. And it's pretty simple. So the coding of the words actually, again, will put you in the center of your spiritual path, a pathway that you get into, which is called Atitya, that will guide one to inwardly to a higher dimension. For instance, your physical body is like a sheath that protects the soul in the physical plane. So we talk about four lower planes in the basic presentation of the physical, astral, causal, and mental planes. And those are really sheaths around the soul in those dimensions that protects the energies in that world. In other words, it's kind of a framework that the soul is housed within so that it can, it's like a vehicle. Like you travel on in the lower planes in those vehicles of the physical, astral, causal, and mental bodies. So that soul is housed in that. So obviously you could unhouse yourself, if you will, step out of, and that process we call sahaji. That's why Akita's short definition is the ancient science of sahaji. So sahaji is this extraction from the physical houses, if you will, in the lower worlds. And that's coming in the back door, so to speak, instead of, you know, I did a reverse presentation from the usual weeks of starting with the short definition, then I led up to it this week. So that's kind of interesting from the standpoint that we need to learn how to move on the inner to a liberation point within one. So the liberation is within each individual. That's the interesting irony of the whole thing. It's not on the outer plane. It's not Shakari of Star Trek, where you're going to find God on some planet or something. And even in Star Trek, that ended up being a demonic force. It was a real negative force that was going on there. And that was good, because then they didn't try to reveal that God exists on the physical plane, which is just absurd. That's an absurdity that some religions will talk about, like a heaven on earth, which is just absolutely ridiculous, because it's not permanent. The lower worlds I was just talking about are not permanent places, whereas the Srosha, the spirit, and that term Srosha is the original term for that power, that energy within, and that means that one will get to that middle, that Srosha power, and then travel in it in Sahaji. And that's what we teach. We teach the ancient science of Sahaji is the movement of that inner self. When we learn that we're this light and sound, we listen to that sound current, then the sound current has to move towards this inner level of the fifth plane. See, so that means that over the course of many, many incarnations, we've created these solidified outer sheaths that need to be transcended to the liberation point. It doesn't mean we get rid of them necessarily. We have to learn how to respect it. A lot of people get confused about, oh, they gain some kind of spirit modicum of spirituality, and then they want to clear the planet as the language is used. They want to get rid of the lower planes. I'm not saying that, okay? Because that would be like acting like a mini-god, if you will, of destruction or leaving it and being irresponsible. We're not saying that at all. We're saying you need to be responsible to the lower world, but not immersed in it, and unidentified as soul. And that means that we get into the goals of Akita, which are, the goals would be self-realization, God-realization, and Srosha mastery. Those three goals are the major ones that are very important to the individual. And even hearing the sound current is kind of a mini-initiation, but it's not really a declaratory or an official initiation within. The first initiation comes in the dream state of the first plane, the physical plane. When you gain control or are able to get into balance on a plane, then you're given an initiation. That means you can explore there without having been in out of balance, I'll say. And the imbalances of the plane mean that you haven't been able to control it within your own domain. So once you get that then you're given an initiation. The initiations to mastery, it's about a 30-year program, but it usually doesn't take that long because people say, oh, that's a long time. But we're not really selling anything, so it's not, we're not selling memberships or selling books or seminars. So I'm not here as a salesman or a pitchman to get money from people, but we're really here to find the ready soul that here's the purport that we teach on the weekends, so we present this information, and then one learns to experience their own sound current within and then travel back to the higher plane. So what we do is we present it, one steps onto the path, and then their karma now goes into resolution. At this point, anybody listening on the call who's not a member has good karma, and if they step onto the path now, their karma will cease, and they'll start practicing dharma, the dharma state, dharma, which means the karmaless state. We're the only teaching that explains that. I'm pretty sure nobody's really using that language, and therefore, it's important. The membership's important. We're not selling anything, but there is a commitment to me as a teacher, or a commitment to the path. Really, you can have any teacher you want. At the same time, the commitment to the path means that now your karma ceases. There's a cessation of the karma, and now it's in resolution. That's why it takes about 30 years of resolution, because you have to understand there may be millions of lifetimes that you go through. So think of that particular time versus 30 years is not very long. But as I said before, the ones dedicated, usually they go a little quicker than that. And then in the first 2 years, most of the primal karma, the ancient stuff that goes way back in the dawn of time, resolves itself mostly in the dream state. I always make this joke analogy that you can get hit by the train, you can hit by a train 10 times in a dream state, or even more in one evening, but you can only do it once in a physical lifetime. So that's kind of a little joke I tell.
Yes, anyway, it's less painful when it happens in the dream state.
Yeah, exactly. Physically, you can only do it once, but you can do it many times on the inner. So that resolves a lot of negative karma. Leslie, will you take us through the Hue contemplation, maybe explain the Hue contemplation, and take us through the Hue chant? I would really appreciate it. Thank you. And explain why we do the Hue chant and the contemplation. Okay. Thank you very much.
Yeah. And the Hue chant, which is what we call the contemplation exercise, the spiritual exercise, is really the only thing that we ask people to do on the path, because this facilitates one's spiritual unfoldment. You can unfold at a much faster rate by doing this and establish yourself on the levels where you achieve the three goals that Sri Kadavji had mentioned: self-realization, God-realization, and spiritual mastery. And what we do is we take 30 minutes a day to do the contemplation, and it's a time when we really are tuning into the inner, listening to our sound currents. It is balancing for us, and it really alleviates any kind of attacks from negativity. It really it makes that disappear, so we can really balance out and calm down, but also it helps us facilitate our spiritual unfoldment, as aforementioned. And so what we do is we try to do it on a regular time every day. It doesn't necessarily have to be, but the 30-minute contemplation spans a 24-hour period in which you gain greater protection and balance during those 24 hours, and that's where we try to be sort of regular. So for some people, it's better to do it in the morning. I myself am a morning person, love to start my day out with it that way. Other people find it more conducive for their temperament to do it in the evening or the afternoon. Whatever works for you is fine. The most important thing is to do this on a daily basis. And as Sri Kadavji has said many times before, it's not a mandate, but it sure is highly recommended for your own benefit, because it does increase the enfoldment rate. that you'll be having, and it does increase your protection and your centering. It's really all about spiritual balance. So the way that we do this is we sit quietly in the most quiet place that we have in our homes. If we can't get away from extraneous noise such as traffic or the hum of a refrigerator, we can use earplugs to try to block out as much exterior sound as possible. And then we sit comfortably. We can have our feet flat on the floor, or we can have them crossed in tailor position, and whatever is comfortable. And then we close our eyes and we take a couple of deep breaths to relax. And then after that, we're going to chant the word Hu. Now, Hu, it comes both simultaneously from the 10th and the 12th planes. So it's another word, that a higher Sanskrit word that actually is meaning God. And that's why the vibrations are so high and will obliterate any kind of negativity in the area, whether it's coming from within or without. And that's why it's an important word to chant. Now, those people who have been on the path for a while will have their own mantras, and they're just as effective as using Hu, but they're more personalized for them. So what we do is we chant the word Hu for a few moments, whatever feels comfortable, and then we put our attention. You can use either the Tizratil or the crown chakra. The crown chakra is the highest point that we can put our attention on. It's the spot where the soul of a baby will come in when the baby's being born. So it just comes right from the inner planes through the crown chakra. And what we want to do is we put our attention there, close our eyes, and we're going to start off chanting the word Hu for a few moments. And then after that, we can be quiet, keep our attention on the sound current as much as possible, because you can hear the Sarosh, or the spirit. You can hear it as sound and see it as light. So you want to listen to the sound current. It generally comes in very, very strongly during the contemplation. So it's important to listen to that. And you might have a very vivid out-of-body experience. As soon as you close your eyes, you are in Sahaja. You are traveling. But there are different levels of that experience that you might have. You most likely will hear the sound current. You might see the light. And now, whether you're traveling in the lower worlds, there's different colors that are associated with the different planes. If you're in the higher worlds, it's most likely going to be a yellow or golden light or a white light. If you see a blue light, generally, or in the shape of a blue star or a blue flash, that is usually the inner guidance of the Mahaji. If Sri Kadavji, that's with you, and he's there for your guidance as you wish. And so what I'm going to do right now is just take you briefly through, just for a moment or two, to experience hearing the Hu. You can join me if you like, or you can just listen and get the feeling of the vibration, because it does raise the vibrations by doing this. So let's close our eyes, take a deep breath or two to relax, and then have our attention on the crown chakra, and we chant the Hu like this. Barakapashat, which means may the blessings be. Sri Kadavji?
Yes, thank you, Leslie, for taking us through that Hu chant. And it's very important, even though it may appear to be somewhat strange or weird to one, the simple idea is to get in touch with the inner self, the spirit within, which is the light and sound. The sound current usually comes like a high electrical pitch or ringing in the ear on the inside, and then one tunes to that and realizes that is the eternal self. So it's not, so they say that in New Age, the woo-woo type thing or something deep, really it's something very important in one's life that gets lost over a long period of time. Because even the religions talk about spirituality, but they don't really know where it is. They don't really talk about an inner self that much, and then they don't know what it is. They usually equate mind and soul as the same thing. My teacher, Paul Twitchell, was really the first one in my life that clearly distinguished the three separate soul, mind, and body. They even have a little magazine, New Age magazine, but rifle through it and see if you can find a definition for it. No one explains the separation of mind and spirit. You see, I mean, people present things but don't give you the details. We need the details in order to gain spiritual liberation. And you come to the active path, and there's where you get the details to gain spiritual liberation. Otherwise, how do you do it? You see, it's a nice idea if you have an automobile, but if you don't have a key to turn on the ignition, how do you make it work? See, that's the silliness that goes on in the lower worlds, that people have knowledge within, but they don't really know how to connect that knowledge up to their own inner self. So that's where ACT states that it's the only path, it's the most direct path, because it's the only one that gives the detail to make the jump into the higher planes. I mean, that's really that simple. I wonder, Leslie, why people react to it, but it's a matter of only 1% can really understand and comprehend. And most of the time, emotional bodies are shot within people and they react poorly and they're in a kind of a negative confrontational state. Whereas in ACT, we learn to gain the balance and equilibrium. I'm not saying you become a zombie and you don't have your emotions, but the point is you remain caused as much as possible. I didn't say you wouldn't have any pain, but that means you're, you know that in your essence as soul, it's indestructible. So what? You have a little pain, it goes away. It doesn't affect you forever, that type of thing. So you learn detachment, and you know that your self on the inner is completely intact. And that's what we teach in ACTA, is something that should be the obvious, that you really know this within. Everybody knows the things that we talk about, but they may have not recollected it in this lifetime or being taught by their friends or other people. Often we hear people say they try to talk to their friends or neighbors or their parents and they don't understand. Well, they don't understand because they're not ACTists. They're not involved with the high path. And therefore, you have to find a living instructor master of the time and see if he will teach you, see if the teaching is public. Presently, the teaching is public. We even have some people in Iran. We have many students in Iran, which is a country of really troubling religious dictatorships and what have you. But a lot of it has to do with the perspective on the media type thing, too. Because when you go to different countries, you can see it's not as bad as purported to be sometimes. It just depends on one's individual experience. And I'm not here to really talk about political regimes and things of that nature. I'm here to teach that ready soul, the one that comes to listen tonight. Perhaps they hear the information that we give. You can feel the vibrations because one's feelings need to be remain intact so that you can understand and comprehend what we are speaking about here. Because really the comprehension comes on how you feel mostly about things and not so much on the logic per se. I mean, there is some element of that, as I said before, but again, it's still a matter of what one senses and what one feels, and then there's where the confidence lies. Therein the confidence remains when you sense and connect up with the huge chant. That's why we do the huge chant, so people can actually feel the Sarosha. See, that's what it's really about. When you feel the Sarosha, then it's a palpable experience. It's not just a lot of talk and blathering on and on, or somebody trying to get your money, that type of thing. Because we're not doing that. So everything's free. Books are free. Anything you go online at ACTA.com is free. We have several books you can download. And also, like I said, membership is free. So our appeal is to the ready soul that can hear our information, and they know that it's the answer for them, and then they step on this path. It's real simple. It's not really that complex. And then when you apply it in your life and you do that daily contemplation, it can be very exciting. It can be an ecstatic experience that you find individually. It's not a zombie state where you're being brainwashed by a group of cultists or some silliness like that. Quite the contrary. The interesting thing is it's individuality. People come and go all the time. I didn't say once you stay on the path, you know, we're going to twist your arm and make you do things and all that silly nonsense. It's not really about that. People come and go. There is attrition rate. I admit that. I mean, it's not tremendous, but people do leave, and that's fine. But because they say individuality we're dealing with. We're not dealing with forcing anybody to do things and mandate. There are people that misconstrue and confuse things. There's a lot of inner things that take place. We always tell people you need to use a huge channel on the inner to confront the imagery that you might have. That might be me being negative or something, but what the huge chant will do will unmask a negative situation, show the realities, whether somebody might be in a masquerade, you know, might be dressed up in a garb of a master but not really be that person. See, so what you can do is you can gain reality with the huge chant. So if you stay real basic, the huge chant will protect you with all the energy that you need in the lower planes, because the lower planes are vast. There's about a digintillion kilometers to the soul plane. It's actually been measured. That would be 10 to the 63 zeros afterwards. It's pretty far, but it's not as far as the physical sciences talk about, the light years and stuff like that. I mean, it's pretty, if you do the comparison, but we're not here, again, to make it complex. What we say is when you hear the sound current, which is easy, it's like drinking water is easy, right, for your health. Listening to the sound current is simple too. So when you tune into the sound current and then you learn how to travel and move on that sound current, and that's the simplicity of what we're talking about. The other complexities will pretty much take care of themselves. I'm not saying you can't study things or take classes in school and learn about all the traditional information, what you need to do, and cultural literacy and all those things. That's fine also. I'm saying that on the path will give you a better overview to be able to remain in equilibrium in the lower worlds, because sometimes it's very hard to do that with the emotional body, the astral body so close to the physical plane. And that means that we're not doing astral projection, we're doing soul projection, coming from the fifth region into the lower planes. All right, we're getting down to like the last 3 minutes. Did you want to be a housekeeper?
We have about...
Yeah, go ahead.
Yes, 2.5 minutes, and I would like to mention for anybody who's going to be in or about the Philadelphia area this coming Tuesday, October 11th, this is a grand opportunity to hear Sri Kadavji speak. He'll be giving the next to the last in a series of talks that he's been giving at the Philadelphia Central Library at 1900 Vine Street in Philadelphia in room 108. And it's at 6:30 this Tuesday night, October 11th. So we invite you there. As Sri Kadavji mentioned, we do not charge for anything. So it's a free talk. You'll get an opportunity to listen to Sri Kadavji, to meet him in person, and to ask questions of him while there. So we invite you there. The information, again, if you go to our website, acta.com, you'll see the information there as well, and any of the books that you might want to download for free, and any information at all at no charge. So we hope that if you're close by, that you'll take this opportunity to come and meet Sri Kadavji and listen to him in person. So I want to thank everyone for being with us this evening. It's always a great pleasure for Sri Kadavji and myself to be able to have this time and share it with everyone that's interested in the very ancient teaching of Akata. So thank you very much, and I want to give Sri Kadavji a very dear thank you and appreciation for all the information, enlightenment, and wisdom and joy that you give with us now and all the time. And with that, Sri Kadavji, I'd like to turn this over to you to close for the evening.
As the master raises his right hand, palm facing out, and says to the people, "I am always with you. May the blessings be Barak Bishad."